You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I convinced them I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice knows what you think I've seen. Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and we're talking to Moss and Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and they called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hi, everybody. This is Marco Bill. Welcome back again for another last week. Tom will not be on tonight, sorry. But we do have a pretty exciting show lined up. What I'd like to do is thank all of our listeners and our Bigfoot family members out there. Really hot Bigfoot line this week. A lot of different reports from all over the country. Got another call from our good friends in Michigan and Maryland. And, of course, continuing excitement from New York, and from North Carolina. And we also had a couple of new people call me. I have to get a hold of them. They'll have to get a hold of them later in the week here to make arrangements to collect all the information. Just had too many, had a lot of different calls that I had to try to round up everybody. But anyway, it's been a very, very, fruitful week for Bigfoot. It does seem like a lot of things are starting to happen again. So here we go, you know. It doesn't seem like it ever stops. One thing I'd like to ask all of our good people out there, we do have a store, an online store, and in that store we have hats and T-shirts and other memorabilia that we share with everybody. And if you got to go up and take a look at it. You know, Rocky and Swede, as they go on their little excursions, a lot of the people out there ask them, hey, where'd you get that shirt, or where'd you get that hat, or where'd you get that jacket? And quite a few people.
Snake Man, Ferris, Texas.
Quite a few people out there are interested in it. If you are, by all means, just go up www.shoppingforbigfoot.com. Shoppingforbigfoot.com. And you will see our little store, and you'll see all kinds of stuff that's available, including movies. And take a look. There may be some things that you'd like. Anyway, we got a pretty full schedule tonight. We also have one of our visiting young Bigfoot researchers visiting us again tonight, and that's Christian from PA. From Pennsylvania, and he's on again tonight. He just gave me a call and like to participate in the. We're going to see him at the last 15 minutes of the show tonight. He's going to tell us some of the things that have been going on for him. But without too much stalling around here, we like to go out there to New York and talk with our friend Steve. And Steve, how are you tonight? I gotta find your switch. Here we go. Too many phone numbers on here. Steve, how are you tonight?
Good. How's everybody doing?
Pretty good. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I gotta apologize. The past few weeks, I haven't been in the best of health. And besides my health and time, I also ran into a couple of problems with one of my computers and one of my programs. So there's a lot of photographs and sound files that were forwarded to me this past couple of weeks that I have not been able to put up, but I have listened to them on individual computers. And I have viewed them, and so we're going to be talking about it. But I apologize. I wanted to have it up there tonight for everybody to take a look at. What I'm going to have to do is forego this and try to figure out a way to get them up into slideshows and also for the sound files on the get the sound files put up there so you guys can listen to them as well. Some really neat stuff that people have been forwarding forward here. Steve, tell us what's going on.
Well, you know, I had a pretty quiet week until Monday night / Tuesday morning. I was coming home. It was about midnight, and I kind of did it a little differently. When I usually take a lap down there, I go directly when I come down the hill there by my house. What I did this time was I waited about 15 minutes in the car. I had the lights off. And then I started the car, and I took the quick right turn, and I went down there. And when I was going down there, I had the high beams on, and I saw the first time in my life I've ever seen a Sasquatch that was a whitish-grayish color. And let me tell you, this guy was the alpha male. He was huge. That, to me, was definitely the biggest one I've ever seen. I mean, I might have seen one that was maybe 9 feet tall. Usually they're between 8.5, you know, 9, 8 feet, anywhere between 8 and 9 feet or whatever, but this guy here was at least 10 feet, and he was wide, and he was big, and he was moving pretty quick. And, you know, it's funny. I guess it was kind of the kiss of death for me, because I was talking to Richard that I've never seen one of that color. And then, sure enough, look what happened. I saw him, and pretty incredible. It was about a five-second period of time, and what he was doing was, we have the baseball field there, and, you know, sometimes people do barbecues, and he was going through the garbage, because after he left, and I was looking around, and he had the garbage can down on the ground.
Oh, wow. You said it was about 8 to 10 feet tall?
No, he was at least 10 feet. I'm just saying the other ones I've seen that are the males, that are the adults, have been anywhere between 8 and 9 feet. This guy here was at least 10 feet.
Really humongous.
He might have been even more than that because, you know, when they're running, they don't run with their head sticking up either. You know what I mean? You've seen them run. I mean, when you see them run, they kind of run with that weird style of where they're swinging their arms and they're taking those long steps. So
right.
You can't really, you know what I'm saying? You can't really tell, but like, I could just tell by the size of him because what I did was when after he went past this, where the fence was, and I gave myself a general idea of where he was, and I went back the next day with a tape measure, and it was 10 feet where I saw his head run past where he was running. And let me tell you, he went into those woods, and I heard those branches breaking. Well, I tell you, man, that was definitely the loudest I've ever heard a Sasquatch. And if I would have to guess his weight, he was over 800 pounds.
Wow.
Well over 800 pounds.
That's pretty
and
neat.
And then today, they were doing, I guess they were doing some work down there. There's these town guys that go down there and do some work. And all of a sudden, you know, I heard a yell. It sounded to me like just like a Sasquatch yell. I don't know if they were trying to, like, warn anyone from the family that anyone's around. You know what I mean? I know there was people down there, which is, you know, but then again, sometimes they do yells or they'll do a wood knock to let someone know if anyone or anything is in their vicinity as a warning.
Yeah.
It just did not sound human. It did not sound human. It sounded like a Sasquatch yell. And, you know, throughout the years, you know, I've heard so many of them and I've seen so many of these creatures already. I mean, you know what? I consider myself blessed, you know, that I've been able to see him, and you know, I tell people about it, and they look at me like I'm crazy, and I always tell them the same thing. If you don't believe me, I'll do a lie detector test, I'll do whatever it takes. You know what, I'm being honest, I've seen these things, I have nothing to hide, and it is what it is, and I'm just saying the truth. And you know what, like I said, I consider myself blessed that I have the opportunity to see these creatures.
Now, what, because it was white, was it kind of a pure white, or was it an off-white?
It was, you know what, it was a grayish white. That's the best way for me to describe it. You know,
yeah.
I actually got to look at its face a little bit now. I don't know if this is common when people see these creatures, but, like, it was more grayish white, and it's, like, more grayish in the face. And the body, the fur on the body was more of a white with more of, like, a little bit of a grayish color to it. You know, it was, and, you know, I like I said, he was moving really quick. And he was a big boy, man. He was really big. And, you know, I wish there was some way I could have, you know, taken a picture or a video or whatever. You know, right now I'm kind of limited on resources and stuff. But like I was telling you, I'm trying to get a trail camera and do some recordings and stuff like that. And hopefully Richard can come down. You know, unfortunately, I haven't been feeling too well either, buddy. And I was in and out of the hospital all week. So I really, you know, it's kind of hard for me to go in the woods and do all these things. But, you know, I'm working on getting something done here because there's so many of them here. It's like a missed opportunity every single day of getting a picture.
Wow,
of a video.
That's pretty good. Well, gosh, it's amazing, you know that?
It really
it's
is.
Amazing.
It is, you know, like, you know, I've told you the stories about these creatures, like the amount of them that I've seen. And I've seen now, in the last few weeks, I've seen three of them. And, you know, I mentioned to you about the one that was in my neighbor's garbage taken out, the bag out of the trash the other day, and I saw the one that was knuckle walking about 3 weeks ago, and then I saw the one on Monday night. And, you know, they're very active right now, and I know there's so many more of them that are around, you know what I mean? They're just, right now I believe, like you said, this is probably the time when they're moving up and down, they're migrating or whatever.
Well, it is a migration. It's a spring migration.
Right.
Coming up here.
I think, you know what it is, where I am, I think I have a bunch of them that live there, and there might be some that go further south during the winter, but I know for a fact that we have them there year-round because I've heard them and I've seen them during the winter months, and, you know, so I know they're there. I know this guy here was definitely the alpha male because he was just too big, you know. To me, you know, I think he wasn't worried about me doing anything to him. He just didn't want me to see him or whatever, but when it got to the point of where I did see him, he took off.
Oh, man. It's amazing. Now, you sent me some pictures before that as well, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and I've taken a look at a lot of those in there, but there's some things in there. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. I got so much more stuff that I can truly, I mean, you know, there's so much more things that I can, I'm trying to work, you know, getting into the woods. I got so much more stuff, you know, hopefully when I get my legs back a little here, because, you know, like I said, you know, there's so much more. It's just incredible, you know. It's, to me, you know, people would never think that these creatures are so close to us, you know what I mean? Because, you know, people think that, you know, Sasquatch is only out in Oregon or in California or whatever. Here I am, you know, less than 100 miles from New York City, and I've had so many encounters with these creatures. And, you know, not only the times that I've seen them, but what about all the times where I've heard them with the wood knocks? And, you know what it's like when you're half asleep and you hear a tree break?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm talking about, you know, literally you hear a tree break, and then you look out the window in a few minutes and you see a creature that's about 9 feet tall staring at you when you open the window with the greenish yellow eyes. You know what I mean? It's like one of these things, you're saying to yourself, you know, is this like some kind of a nightmare or something? But, you know, it isn't. And it's reality. It's life. And, you know, these creatures are real. These creatures are here. And I really believe that so many more people have seen these creatures, but they don't want to come out and say anything about it. They just want to stay quiet.
Well,
they just don't want to be ridiculed.
Yeah, well, and you can't blame them sometimes. I mean, you know, they kind of get shut up and shut down by some of the people that are the closest to them. And it becomes a pretty, you know, kind of a, it becomes a very personal thing. And, you know, we've had a lot of people. I'm almost, it's not just one, I mean, everybody. Almost everybody I've interviewed has had the same issue. And so it's not an uncommon thing. It's pretty common. And, you know, you really don't feel too comfortable when people are. I mean, believe me, Steve, there's been people that have been ridiculed to where they had to move from where they were at because of it. And there's a couple of people that the wife was a school teacher in a school, and he had a picture that he posted on the internet, and it came very close to divorce because of all the controversy that the public, the school was going to let her go because a teacher, because her husband was claiming to be a, you know, all these, you know, this stuff, right? I mean, other people that we've known several years ago in Pennsylvania, as a matter of fact, he actually didn't get a promotion in a job because of that. It was a government job. And he didn't get a promotion because he had been involved in something like that. And all those things are pretty, I mean, you know, when it involves your job and your livelihood, it becomes a serious thing. And it's ridiculous that people would go that far. I mean, even if you take a look at the Mississippi area down there against the Choctaws, my God, you would think that when they put it in the newspaper and they had a story on it, you would have thought, you know, everybody in the world was letting loose all their racial and other comments. And, I mean, it's amazing what people will do, you know, when they think something like that is wrong. And it's just, I mean, they take it to the extreme. And they don't have an open mind.
They don't have an open mind because, you know what it is, unless you see one of these things.
Yeah.
And you have it standing right in front of you, and you see that it's real, and you see how big it is, and you see how capable it is of hurting you. And if it wanted to, it could have at any moment. It could do whatever it want. You know, it could do whatever it wants to you, basically. But, you know, they don't want to be bothered. They just don't want you to bother them. Like I told you a story. I mean, this is the one I saw that was right in front of me that one time. He was more interested in me not hurting him. He didn't care about me seeing him at that point because it was too late already. And it got up, and it just walked away, and that was it. You know what I mean? It took its two steps, went across the street, took another step and went up the embankment over there, and it disappeared into the woods. You know, but that's because, you know, that one there, I wasn't really in its territory. I mean, I was, obviously, because I was there, but it wasn't around my home. It was someplace else.
Right.
Like I told you. And I like to see someone walk in the woods and have someone, like one of these things throw a log at it and then have one of these things yell at you and have one of these things standing right in front of you. You tell me if it's not real.
Oh, I know. And it's amazing. But what's really amazing is how other people react to it. And it's...
Yeah, they look at you like...
It's kind of a sad thing.
Like, again, like I always say, I'll say it 100,000 times. I have nothing to hide. I'll take a lie detector test and I'll prove it to everybody. I'm not lying about any of this stuff. You know, I've seen everything.
No, and I understand that. I mean, it's just a...
Yeah, and it just gets to me sometimes because it's just people, you know, they say, you know, it's not true. Like you're just seeing things, that you're crazy, that you're this, that you're that. But that's not the case. And you know what it is? So many people have reported these creatures, and that's one of the reasons why, I guess, a lot of people don't even bother calling or saying anything because they don't want to be ridiculed. But I guarantee you, if there's 100 sightings, out of 100 sightings, you'd be lucky if one person says anything.
Sure.
They might say something to their friends, but they're not going to give you a call, or anyone else for that matter.
No, and of course, there's people out there that just like to generate, you know, negative vibrations to everybody. They just, you know, they want to be noticed. So in order to get noticed, what they'll do is they'll raise, you know, hell about, you know, anything, and you know, just ridicule the people and do things like that to make it really rough. And it's too bad that people do that. It's
sure is.
You know, they can't just can't you have a different opinion than somebody else? Does everybody have to have the same opinion? Otherwise, it's no good. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or the same belief.
Yeah.
I mean, like one religion.
You know, sorry if I got a little emotional there. It's just that. You
know,
it's just
it happens to everybody, Steve, and it's a common thing. I warn everybody when they call the show and everything else, exactly the same thing. And I do want to thank you for coming on tonight and sharing with us.
You're welcome.
And stay on for the end of the show here. We'll have a pretty good open mic period.
You got it, but I'll be here.
Okay. We've got our 14-year-old, I think. 14-year-old Bigfoot researcher. He's been pretty good. Anyway, let me go to commercial now. I'm going to meet you out, and we're going to go to commercial, come back, and we're going to talk to Jerry from North Carolina. And here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, and we're going to go out here to Jerry from North Carolina. Jerry, how are you tonight?
Doing good, Bill. Wish you was feeling better there, buddy.
I don't know. It's the medication they keep trying to give me, different stuff. That's all right, though. Tell us, you know, you sent me some pictures. I didn't get them up there, but we can talk about them. And what's been going on in your area for the past? No, you've been on here, two times, I think?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. Tell us what's going on in your area.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that the caller before there, you know, there ain't nothing to be embarrassed about. I done been called a sadist. I done been called Felix, the Bigfoot. I mean, you know, people's going to, you know, until you see it, they ain't going to believe it. Probably if you drag the thing up to their house, they still wouldn't believe it. Some people are just in denial. But, no, I've been past the place several times, and you talking about growed up. Now, it being a marshland and the sun being as hot as it is here in North Carolina, it's 90 degrees the other day. I mean, these little things, and when I was down there, Bill, it was like 6 or 8 inches tall. These things are like 6 or 8 feet tall, these weeds.
Yeah.
And they got a good hiding place now. You barely can see a crack through the marshland from all the overgrowth now. So if they still there, I haven't been down in there, you know, I didn't want to run them off. But you know, I've been looking at my pictures and I've been telling you I've been finding some more things in there. Once you get them up, you'll see that it looks like just a tree line, Bill.
Yeah.
And you can see in the background of the tree line, you can see like where the opening is for the marshland. But I took the picture and my hands cupped over some of them because
right.
It started getting dark in the camera. It seemed like when I cupped my hand over the top of the camera, it would brighten the picture up. So
right.
I just... As soon as it brightened the picture up, I just snapped it right quick. You know, I wasn't really looking in a, you know, in what was out there. I just, you know, then when I got home, but this past week, I done seen one. If you look at the ground, when everybody gets to see the pictures, if you look at the tree, the bottom of the tree at the ground, and where the Bigfoot's standing in between two more trees, you'll see that he's at least 10 foot tall.
Uh-huh.
And, at this thing, I'm telling you, he was no more than 50 feet from me, and I didn't even see him. I'm like, man, there ain't no way I didn't see that thing. But I didn't, you know, because I was just trying to get the camera to brighten up so I could snap the picture right quick to show the area. But, yeah, if he could have pushed a tree over on me. And I don't believe that, like he's talking about, I don't believe they're really aggressive. I mean, now, you know, if you go down there and snatch one of his babies up, oh, yeah, sure, you know, you hem it up in a big steep canyon where it can't get out, I'm sure, you know, it's going to protect itself like anything would.
Sure.
But as far as just us just poking around and looking at it and seeing it, you know, it didn't try to hurt me. Because, like I said, I didn't even know it was there. But I got thinking about everybody said it's smelling like a real horrible smell. I mean,
uh-huh.
I just didn't smell it. I don't know if he took a bath that day or...
It's kind of like a wet dog, rotten egg.
Yeah.
Several different descriptions of it, kind of like smell, and not always. I mean, in a lot of cases, they can smell it before they see it, but it all depends on, you know, the wind, you know, which way the wind is blowing. It depends on a lot of different factors.
Yeah, I was just curious, Bill. You know, I had to zoom in on my camera to see them, and you can make them out and stuff. It's, some of them's blurry. When y'all post them, is that what you're going to do the zoom in part and then post that part? Because if you just post the picture itself,
well, what I'll do is I take a look at the whole thing,
yeah.
And then I, you know, whichever comes out the best quality, then I try to do that.
Yeah, but I got a video. I didn't know if it is sand. See, on my camera, I had a little. When I first got down there, it's the first time I ever tried to take a picture with my wife's phone, and because I ain't really high tech, I just got the regular cell phone. But I couldn't get the camera to come up to take the photo, but I got the video to come up. So I took like a little 3-4 second shot of just a tree. Remember in the beginning, the last time I was on, I talked about it. Went down there to take a picture of the tree because see if it was a stump behind it or not.
Right.
Well, I was taking a picture of that, but little did I know, I didn't know you could zoom the video. But I hadn't sent that to you. I got to figure out how to send it to you, but I hadn't sent that one. And but by a tree, there's a tree with three like trunks coming up out of it. Well, at the base of that tree, to the right of that tree, in behind, in front of me, I counted six Bigfoots.
Wow.
Two mamas, One of them's crouched down. I think you're going to call it a teenager because they don't have a lot of hair on his face. His face is kind of shiny, like oily. It's looking through a bush, and you can see a perfect round face of it. One of the mamas is holding a baby on the side like, you know, us humans would, carrying on your hip.
Sure.
And another one, you can see the highlight, and when I'm able to send it to you, you'll be able to see the highlights of the arms around his mama's neck. And it hanging off his back, but you can't see his head, but you can see the highlight of his arms around his mama's chest.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another one peeking out from behind it. And how you'll be able to see them is the eyeballs are showing up like black dots
mm-hmm.
on their faces. You know, it's kind of blurry. I don't know if y'all can clear it up.
I'll give you a call here in the next couple of days. And I've got a thing that I use to transfer large files, and we'll get you on that.
Oh, yeah.
But and that'll make it easier for anything.
Yeah, like I said, as far as being, like, poking around back down there, I was hoping maybe y'all could do an expedition, or I don't even know if they're still there, to be honest with you. I hadn't really tried to poke around. I didn't want to run them off. I keep thinking the hot weather, you know, they migrate like y'all been talking about, but... These pods I was talking about, these layers, that took time to build them. I mean, I guess they could have built them in the winter months, but I mean, surely those pods, unless they destroy them before they leave, which you know I don't know if they do. You know, they say that. Correct me if I'm wrong. They say that they hide their tracks, or have. I might just be misspeaking. Something I might have heard. Somebody misquoting something or something.
They do what now?
Hide their tracks.
Well, I'm sure they can do a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if they want. I mean, even the areas that they're in, for instance, it's very difficult to find a footprint in a leaf litter.
Yeah.
You can see the impression, but you really can't get any definition. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, it's where they're at. They know where to go. And it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But they, I'm pretty sure that, you know, when we walk around out there, as soon as we're walking around out there, they pretty much know where we're at and what we're doing.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I can show you exactly where the layer is, where the picture is,
uh-huh.
standing at, where I was standing at when I took the picture. I mean, like I said, unless they destroy the layer will be there. So, that you know, that would be proof of this layer.
Yeah, well, what we'll do is when I start going through all that stuff, I'll give you I'll make arrangement with you and we'll go through it together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, like I said, it's just growed up, and I hadn't, you know, it's like the caller before, I'm sorry, I'm terrible with names. Even you can tell me a minute ago, you know. I talked to you several times, that's why, well, you know, the reason I remember yours. But, yeah, that's nothing to be ashamed of because, hey, I know what the truth is. I know what I've seen. I mean, I ain't making nothing up because I ain't that kind of person, you know. So, I mean.
Yeah, all it is is just, there are some people out there, no matter, I mean, you could, like you said, you could bring it and show it to them right in front of them,
yeah.
and they'd still deny seeing it.
Yeah, like I said, I've been called Felix the Bigfoot, a sadist. I was called a sadist this morning.
Jeez.
Just because I believe in Bigfoot. I mean, you know.
Yeah, well, I get quite a few calls here, you know, those crank calls. The guy asked me, yeah, you used in the hospital last week? Because, you know, when he called, I thought he was going to report a, you know, an incident,
yeah,
an encounter. And I explained to him that I had not got back to him because I was in the hospital for a few days the week before. And he said, oh, you were in the hospital last week? I said, yeah. He says, geez, why the hell didn't they poison you?
Golly. People's terrible.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's some crazy people out there.
Oh, yeah. The video I was telling you about, I'm going to try, if when you call me, I'm going to try to get you to help me send it.
Sure.
I'm not real sure how to send a video. The pictures.
No, it'll be pretty easy. It'll be the same way. I'll give you different ways to do it.
Total what I seen, Bill, and people listening. There was six there. The camera was trying to highlight something standing behind them about 5 or 10 yards. Well, there was six. The one I seen, the big monster one that was right behind, right in front of me, I'm like, duh, hey, you know, he could have smacked me, and then I might have seen him, you know. That'd be seven. There was one crouched down in the field. It was black and white. So that'd be eight. There's another one, solid brown one. That'd be nine, and I think I'm trying to pick up a couple more. I mean, it's probably anywhere from 9 to 13 of these things out there.
Sure.
The photos are grainy, but how I can pick them out? If you look at them where the black dots are, you'll see a brown figure. You see sort of like a head and shoulders, but the camera's picking up. It ain't picking up like the white of the eye and all. It's picking up black dots. You know, just like spaced out like eyeballs would be. And the layers are picking that. It's kind of blurry and grainy, but the layers, you can tell they're layers. From the one layer, you can really get a good picture. And zooming in with the face was cropped in, which I'm thinking might be the dog face, Bigfoot, that was looking out, I was telling you. You can tell they're layers because they're the same color-looking stuff in the film. And they got the dark circles. The camera's picking up the shadow that's going in. That's inside the layer.
Uh-huh.
And you got all this sunshine, and then you got these black dots and these brown spot and these brown layers. Well, those are the openings, I believe. And you think you're back in there, and you know, even up close, you take a picture. There's going to be a shadow in the front of it because it's dark and it's light out here and it's dark in there. So that's what the camera's picking up. And if it's picking them up, these is about as many as I believe they are, is about as many as layers they are.
Sure. No, yeah, and I'll go through it with you, and we'll figure things out. And then when I post them, we'll have something to put up there.
Okay.
Sounds I want to thank you, Jerry, for coming on tonight. What we're going to do is we're going to go on to our next guest, and you're going to stay on until the end, right?
Oh, yeah, if my battery is late, I've been having trouble with my battery. If I get cut off, I'll just see you when you call, and I'll try to bring it up on the Internet there and listen to the rest of the show. My battery, my phone battery's, home phone battery's been going on the bleak. It's on charge so far, but, yeah, just I hope you get the feeling better. You hear?
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh, buddy.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yep.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Jerry from North Carolina. We're going to go to New York again. We're going to talk to Richard. Richard, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, Bill. Thank you.
So tell us what's going on.
I actually went out yesterday. Weather's been nice here. I didn't expect too much because I'm looking at bare branches, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to come too close with until we get some foliage.
Right.
But you know what I did see, Bill, that was pretty strange?
What's that?
On the side of the trail, every time I've gone, there's been a Albany landfill sign about 25, 30 feet off the trail, laying flat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yesterday it was stood up straight. And it's right on, like, you can tell where, because there's no foliage.
Right.
You can tell where the traffic goes in and out up to the hill where I think they are. And this is right on the way. And no human's going to walk into where this sign was to set it up straight. And I saw a lot of low-level tree, snaps of bushes, a lot of
weight.
So something's been going through there, and I just got to wait. I got to be a little bit more patient for the foliage to come. They're not going to.
Well, it'll come here shortly. It's starting to come out.
Oh, it's starting to. The weather's been pretty good here.
Mm.
I sent. You probably didn't get it from what I You probably didn't put it up. I sent a picture of a tree limb sticking out of a log. And when I first saw it, I thought, I swear it's one of these damn things throwing something at me. It looks like an arm with a fist.
Yeah.
And I blew it up yesterday. And it's within, I'd say, 100 feet of where I had my second sighting. The one I'll say was the perfect sighting where I got a real good, better than the Patterson, you know, what you see on the Patterson film look at one of these things. Mm-hmm. You know, I explained that it looked like a Chippendale dancer. You know,
right.
You know, it's not big and bulky. It was more lean and muscular. And where that is sticking out of, I thought it was a blowdown. It's no blowdown. Those logs have been put there by something because there's no cut. There's no trees cut there. They had to be dragged there.
Yeah.
And I'm almost thinking, I was afraid to go close to it by myself. I'm almost thinking that if you go on the back side of that, it's dug out. You know, that
very well,
you know,
could be.
That they're using it as a habitation.
Sure. It very well could be.
Well, I was afraid to go there. I'll be truthful with you. By myself.
Well, yeah, you're by yourself this way.
Yeah, well, if I had somebody, you know, I always said if I had Tom, that's Tom and the couple guys, that sign they have on that one trail keeping me out, I'd go past it. If I'm going to get arrested, I want people with me. With Tom's stature, if we got detained by the police and it would get on the news, it would make some news. But if Richard gets caught doing it, I might end up in the geriatric psych ward myself, you know?
Amazing.
But I expect things to be jumping here very shortly, Bill.
Super. Well, I'll keep in contact with you.
And Steve and I talk all the time.
Yeah.
And we are going to get together shortly. He's going to go with me, and I'm going to go with him.
Super. That'd be great.
And that's about it. There's nothing really happening here yet.
That's all right. It's
going to be.
Still got plenty of time.
And, you know, Bill, I also sent you that picture of the deer head up in the tree.
Yeah.
Those two areas are about, I'd say, 3 or 4 miles apart. But you know what? They're connected by a power line cut.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They could use that like an expressway.
Yeah, well, some people think that's what they use them for.
I actually had a friend that hunted in Rensselaer County.
Mm-hmm.
And his father wouldn't go in the woods anymore because they did see something walking up a power line that scared the hell out of them, and they had guns. He said his father refused to go out there anymore.
Well, I'm sure there's not just creatures. There's other animals also use those power line.
Well, they're gonna use the path of least resistance. They're
sure.
Like us.
Yeah, yeah. It's like an open path. You know, when you log slashing trails, all those kinds of things, you know what I'm talking about?
All I know is that deer head picture. I have another set of pictures of that same tree, and there's no deer head sticking out of that hole. I don't know if it's being held up there by the back of the, you know, the vertebrae going from the, but it's a petrified deer head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's only a fawn. I sent it to you. I don't know. You didn't get it.
I remember it. Yeah.
And that deer head's not there in later pictures. You figure that out, and you can't climb that tree because it's probably about 30, 40 feet up, and there's no branches leading up to that level.
Well, it could also be those large cats that don't exist.
Yeah, it could be that, but I don't think so. Because
what they do is they drag their their keel up in trees.
Bill, it's like it's looking out. They got it set so it's looking out.
Yeah.
It's not laying across the branch. It's sticking. It's like it's sticking its head out the hole.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, something had a strange sense of humor. And I think you already have the picture.
No, I haven't.
It's just doesn't like that one with the arm. I say it's an arm. I thought in that one picture, I said, what is it, throwing something at me or giving me the finger or something? That's what it looks like. It looks like an arm being held up defiantly. And there's a lot, you know, I've seen strange stuff. And these things may have a sense of humor. And I said to Steve, in that same area, I thought I saw something that, and I'm going to sound crazy again. And I think these things are aboriginal. Some of them are more human than ape.
Well, what does aboriginal mean?
Well, they're closer to human than ape.
Well,
they're almost like they have.
No, here, Richard, this is what I was trying to tell you last week. Try to understand this. They don't call it aboriginal, but basically it's a hominid, okay? And basically it's like, it's just like a Cro-Magnon. They're forms of hominids, okay? They're not human. They're not ape. Ape is its own, you got to understand. When it says not human, not ape, just because it looks like an ape doesn't mean it's ape. DNA has its own little number scheme, okay? Mm-hmm. And every single species has a different set of DNA characteristics, okay? So when you say we already know, I mean, by the DNA that we've gathered, that we have several different kinds of DNA. Each one is different than the other. We know that already. I mean, it doesn't have to, there's no big mystery about that. We have it. Hair samples, skin samples, other things. They're different than each other. One, by the number of genomes it is from, and we compare it with genomes from human, but it's a hominid, but it is not human. It is not ape. Okay? It's an unknown species is what it comes out as.
Well,
so we know that.
I saw, Bill. I'll tell you what I've seen in both places. The same thing. It was like, I'll call it a standard. It looked like a bird's head on a pole. That was held up. I saw it in both the pine bush where I go, and the other place where I had the sighting.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, I always thought that what separates them from us probably is they don't use fire. As far as I know, nobody's ever said that heard of one using fire.
How do we know? We don't know.
That's what would make them more human than ape. If they
no, not necessarily true. Just because it has fire or other things, it's not ape and it's not human, Richard.
Well, no,
thing you got to get yourself off of.
I know, but that's the thing. That would be the next step in their evolution, though, Bill. If they use
no, don't talk about evolution. Talk about genetics, okay?
Wow.
Talk about the genes, and the genes say that it's a different species. And that's what we use to define. That's why we use DNA to define the different species. Okay? And we say it looks more human-like because it looks more like a human, or it looks more ape-like because it looks more like an ape, but really not an ape.
It looks more like
an orangutan.
You're
okay?
Right.
Okay? But that doesn't mean it is. It's just something that we're comparing it to give somebody else an idea of what the look is like.
Would you agree?
But the DNA is completely different. It's not orangutan. It's not ape. It's not human. It is its own species.
Would you agree, Bill, that probably in the same group you might have different variations of how close and far it is from looking, you know, like an ape or a human? in the same group?
Well, no, they all do. I mean, they have different characteristics that would... Some characteristics are more human-like. Other characteristics are more, non-human, whatever you want to call it. But it's not a human. It's its own species.
It's its own species. Exactly.
It's its own species. It's different. It says it's different. It's just like, that's what I'm trying to get to you. We know this already. We know that there are different species of this creature. Okay? How many different species? I don't know. We've only got a few, but, we're no major research team. We're just out there gathering evidence and, spending money on DNA. And you run across this as you're going through it. And you learn more new things every day. That's what it's all about.
One other thing I saw yesterday, Bill, I saw a big pile of scat.
Okay.
And it was like a reddish color.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. It wasn't human, and it wasn't deer. I know what deer scat looks like, and I don't know what bear scat looks like. And there could possibly be bears in there. I don't know. It wasn't canine. It was too big.
Well, you got to get a sample of it, and then
I can go back and get. That's no problem.
Yeah.
But it. There's nothing that big in there that could leave what I saw.
No, I understand, but get a sample of it, and
what do
then,
I do?
Analyzed, you can find out.
Well, I'll go back tomorrow and I'll get a sample of it, but I don't know
hey, buddy,
I'll bag it.
I'm running late.
Yeah, I'll let you go.
You're going to stay on to the end of the show,
Bill.
Right?
Oh yeah. Oh, it's always a pleasure, Bill.
Thanks for coming on, Richard.
You're welcome.
Everybody, that was Richard from New York. We're going to go out here, Dave. I got to unmute you, Dave. Dave, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, Uncle Bill. I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little better.
No, that's just too bad. You're going through all
that. No, it's nothing to do. It's just medication. You got to get the right medication in me and, get the water out of my body.
Well,
tell us what's going on.
Yeah, well, I mentioned here the other week about one of our local parks within the city limits having tree formations. One has formed again after other formations have been cut down, and because the city seems to know what they're about now. So I went there actually just yesterday, took a walk, and wow, right in the same area, there's more little stick formations forming up. They're really just branches where they had cut some of these trees and stuff and just done their basic maintenance. But, they're definitely forming. I found three more, so for a total of four brand-new stick formations. What they're doing is they're making them at the base of these natural trees, cottonwoods that are down there in the river bottom.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, and, it's just so strange because you can hear traffic, you can see McDonald's, Taco Bell nearby, which maybe that might be an attraction, Maybe their trashes are being...
Hey, removed. Maybe they're digging through McDonald's dumpster.
I started thinking about that because it's across one street, and there's the main street there that they have to get to.
Give them a sausage and cheese.
Yeah. Well, they do throw a lot of food away, so... and I was thinking, that might actually have some truth in it because at night, I think that's an all-nighter now, but before
yeah.
we used to, Well, Taco Bell's closed, but I haven't heard anybody talk about, the trash cans being raided, but it is really close to those fast food restaurants. And we're still hearing some other stories about around the river. There's we've heard a few more stories about little ones being traveling up and down the river and being seen. Because they're so small, the sightings are very brief. Somebody will see a movement and
just
briefly catch it, and then they go into underbrush, and that's it. But they'll find little tracks. They look like humanoid tracks, but smaller. And that's something just really out of the ordinary. It's like, what else is going to come out now, We've had some activity around the mountains, too. Seems like with the snow melting, maybe hunger is driving them in a little bit closer to civilization. But we've heard people reporting vocalizations, mostly. I haven't seen many tracks, but people are recording unusual yells and things like that. So yeah,
pretty good.
You know, activity's coming up, and
I keep
getting reports constantly, and I keep monitoring and talking to Brenda, you know, see what's going on.
You guys always have a pretty active area over there.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's telling me she's hearing a lot of vocalizations at night too. So I told her we need to get a digital recorder out there so at least she can pick them up.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on. I got to go to Anthony here. We got to get to Rocky. I kind of ran a little late here.
Oh, okay.
But you're going to stay on to the end, right?
Yeah, I might have to leave abruptly, possibly, if I get another call. But I'll stay.
Oh, okay. That's okay. I mean, if you got to go, you got to go, buddy.
Okay.
Thanks for coming on, Dave, and letting us know what's going on.
Yeah, thank you.
Always appreciate it.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Dave from Four Corners, New Mexico. And we're going to go down here to Anthony. How are you?
All right, Michael Bill.
Tell us what's going on, buddy.
Well, kind of like Dave there, definitely activity's been increasing in that same particular area where I got the last footprint. But I noticed that I think there, if there are any that hang around the same area, I think they're slowly getting used to us coming back over there. They have the vocalizations. They kind of decreased, but I will tell you what has increased is the movement. You know, definitely a lot more movement, closer coming in. I happened to be there earlier this week, and when I got up close, I know I spooked something away, and kind of funny because it's quiet for a long time. You just hear, the regular animals that are out in the woods. And then when you, it wasn't like scaring a deer or anything like that. I mean, kind of sounds like a person, thump, 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 like running,
sure.
So, there was, it was kind of like being out there. I want to say the activity's been increasing. It's when they're walking through the woods, man. I mean, it sounds like a whole bunch of, it's quite a commotion, I know. Almost sounds like, a whole bunch of...
Well, I got your sound file, and I listened to it. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, which one? With the vocalizations?
And there's one with a coyote and one with a vocalization?
Yeah, the one that kind of sounded like a coyote, but, towards the end it was kind of like, kind of grunted at the end, So, but I mean, from a long distance away, a lot of people would even, think that that's a coyote sound, I would have too if I didn't have the recorder, But, but those sounds, they kind of, I do hear, from that same spot. I do hear vocalizations taking place in the distance, but I seem to notice that in the area where I, where I showed you some of those formations where I got the footprint, there it's kind of like less vocalizations, but there's more traffic,
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So... But other than that, I'm hoping to find something soon.
I'll keep in touch with you through the week. We'll see what goes on. I mean, every week there's a little something here or there, and eventually you're going to hit some big time here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
Yeah, with the leaves getting thicker coming in, I'm sure it's easier for them to hide, and even when they do make noise. So, I'm doing like always, like everybody else, hoping to just get a little more.
Well, thanks for coming on tonight. We're going to go to Rocky and Swede here next, and then we'll go into our big forum.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mark Bill.
Everybody, that was Anthony from Virginia. We're going to go out here to a good buddy, Rocky, and Swede. Hi, Rocky and Swede. How are you guys?
I don't know about him, but I'm doing real good.
I'm doing much better now.
Well, how's your back?
That's what I'm saying. I'm doing much better now. I can get around all right.
Well, we took a little trip down to, I guess it was week before last. We was talking about a place called Bigfoot Allah.
Yeah.
And so we went down there. We got there just about the time it was getting too late for the turkey hunters to be out, and we stayed till yesterday. It was I guess one of the oddest nights that we've ever had out in the woods. We just threw our camp up a little bit. I mean, you know, we had a had our tents thrown up, but anyhow, we after it got dark, we went out with our infrared. Swede went down to the south, and I went up to the north, and I had I could see a pretty good patch of woods, and I sit there till probably 5 o'clock in the morning, and I saw not one single animal of any kind. It's never happened to me before. I've lived in Arkansas all my life, but I've never gone through a night without seeing something. All right, we had infrared.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the Swede was down at the other end with infrared, and he saw exactly he saw a hoot owl, but it was flying over. There was none of the ground creatures that you see every night, that we've seen every night that we've been out. We saw nothing. We heard nothing.
No armadillos, no possums, no coons, no nothing.
Nothing. The
it
next
was like
day.
It had been like
vacated. Yeah, I mean, it was like the dead zone.
Yeah, it was really weird.
We got up the next day, and we heard a pig, and the Swede saw a little doe going through there about 100 miles an hour. And other than that, we saw birds. We never saw a squirrel, a ground squirrel, a tree squirrel. We saw absolutely nothing in that area. And to me, that would be that was just something that I've never experienced before. I mean, just a section of woods that's completely dead.
Wow.
We put out bait. We put out game cameras. The Swede borrowed a couple of game cameras from a friend of his, and we set them out. We're going to go back next Wednesday. Go out next Wednesday morning and get them and see if there's anything on them. But at the same time, I haven't had a chance to tell the Swede about it, but I talked to a guy today that lives way over to the east of us. I had talked to him about, I don't know, probably about a year ago, and he was telling me that there was some weird stuff going on over at his place. He said he had an old mined out silver mine. Said that he had never been in it, but his dad and his granddad both had been in it and said there was nothing left in there, but it was an old silver mine. Anyhow, I talked to him. This last time I talked to him, he called me. I left him my number way back when. But he called me and said that he was coming back from turkey hunting, and said he had to go down a couple of benches to get to the flat that went on up to his house. He said he topped the one bench, and he looked down to where the it was dark enough that, you know, he really couldn't make anything out. You know where I'm talking about, don't you, Robert?
I think so.
Okay. Anyhow, he saw over the when he topped over the that first bench, he looked down there and he said that he saw something. Said it was just the shadows didn't look right, but he didn't really think anything of it. And so he went on down, and when he topped the second bench, he looked down there again, and he said he saw a large shadow that was actually going into the into that old silver mine. He said he'd never been in it because it's just too spooky. But he said that me and the Swede was more than welcome to come and check it out. And I asked him if we could keep anything that we found in there. And he said that that'd be all right with him as long as it wasn't, you know, $100. But yeah, maybe we may have to make some silver bullets. But anyhow, like I say, when we went to Bigfoot Hollow, we had expectations because, you know, the first time we went down there, we heard stuff.
Right.
I don't know if it's because of the turkey hunters or what, but, you know, the Swede was telling me, well, he was Tuesday when we were walking along, there's a little spring up above where he was walking at. I was walking up one bench up higher than he was, and the bench he was walking on, there was a little spring ran across it, but you couldn't see it because of the leaves, and it ran across this rock, just a big flat rock, and it was, I guess, slicker than snot, but I was a little bit ahead of the Swede. I was up on the edge of the bench, and I was actually talking to him, and I heard a funny noise, and I turned around there, and he was gone. And so I went off down the bench, and I looked off the edge of the one that he had been on. You could see where he had slid off, and he was about 20 feet down, laying on his back. And, well, I went on down there to see if I was going to have to shoot him and put him out of his misery and, you know, keep all of his guns and stuff. But he kind of hurt his back. He'd been down since we got back. But
wow.
Yeah, it was a pretty good tumble. I wasn't ready. It was a, you know, I was talking about the shoes and the boots and things, and it didn't matter what I had on there. It was like driving on ice. That's what it was like, because I didn't matter what I had on. But I took a pretty good fall, and, you know, of course, just go do the normal thing. Just roll with it. Just all you can do. But I landed on something down there I landed on, which, you know, in Arkansas,
at.
there's, and where we're at up there, there's not anything, but if you dug around there for 20 minutes, you couldn't get a coffee can full of dirt because there's so many rocks. But, man, I kind of gouged my back a little bit there, and I kind of was stoved up a little bit with it yesterday, but it's a lot better today. We kind of cut out early. I didn't know if I was really, really hurt or maybe if I'd done some rib damage, but none of that. Just a little beat up, that's all.
I wasn't laughing at you. I was laughing with you. I was the only one laughing, but, you know.
Well, it's pretty comical now. If you could have seen the actual tumble there, you know, kind of put me in mind of whenever you come off your four-wheeler that one time. I understand the laughing part.
No, that didn't really happen. Now, truthfully, though, while we were down there, the first time we was down there, we heard stuff. We were all excited. We was anticipating something, you know, big time this time. And in its own way, it was probably one of the weirdest nights I've ever spent out in the woods, because I've lived in Arkansas forever, and where we were, there should have been all kinds of critters, and none of the turkey hunters, there was nobody hunted that area that we could find any sign of. But, the turkey hunters wouldn't have chased the possums out or the coons or anything like that, but there was absolutely nothing. All of our bait went totally untouched. We're hoping that when we go back out next Wednesday, we'll be able to get some pictures.
See, maybe we'll get a photograph of whatever it is that's running all the critters off, because there's something happening.
Mm. Wow.
Could be a good thing for research, Bill's what we're getting at.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
If not, we're going to go east and go check out the old silver mine.
Yeah, that'll be the next place before it's time to take the walk.
Well, should we open it up for everybody?
Sure, okay. Sure.
We've got Rocky, Swede, Steve from New York, Richard from New York, Jerry from North Carolina, Bruce, and Christian from Pennsylvania, and Anthony. Christian
and
from Pennsylvania. How are you?
Yeah.
And Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Christian from Pennsylvania, how are you?
Good.
Tell us what's going on, my friend.
I've been hearing one knocks every morning.
Christian?
What?
Yeah, tell us what you heard.
I've been hearing wood knocks.
Wood knocks, okay. What time of day?
Like at 6 o'clock in the morning.
At 6 in the morning?
Wow.
Pretty good. Well, so things are keeping on going over there, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty good. Well, did anybody have a question for Christian? We haven't seen him in a while here. He's been, as you know, he's one of our youngest Bigfoot researchers here.
Well, I've got a question for Richard for the New York boys.
Yes.
Has Richard and Steve got together and gone and checked things out?
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, you know, as I've been in and out of the hospital, and I'm going through chemo treatment right now, and I was actually in for a couple of days last weekend, and I'm trying to get my feet back. Kind of hard for me to even walk a little bit right now, but. By the grace of God, I'm getting better little by little. And, I just consider myself very fortunate that I can still see him. You know, I'm one of the few fortunate people who have seen as many. I don't think that many people have seen as many as I have.
So our buddy Richard needs somebody to watch his back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you. While I'm talking to you guys, I got a good nickname for you two. Sweet and Sour.
There you go.
I like Bullwinkle better.
Hey, watch out now with that Bullwinkle. You know, they're pretty mean. You get the horns if you don't watch it.
Yeah, I had one of those things in my area last year. There was a moose in there. And I, like I told Bill, I found a big pile of scat that's like an orangish-red color. I've never seen that before. If there wasn't a horse, and the only other thing it could be is a horse. That's how much there was.
Wow.
Not to change the subject, but if you want to get rid of that chemo and do it without it, you can always use baking soda and distilled water.
Hey, you know what? It's probably the alternative is probably better, because it knocks you out, and this is the fifth time I've been through this, so it's not just the first time. And I'm going to get through, and I'm going to be fine, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be fine. I just got to keep on fighting, you know, and I have so much things, you know. I sent
our prayers be with you.
Some pictures of some tree formations. I have so much more that I can send them that are even better than what I sent them. I just can't get out there and take the pictures and hopefully in a
Richard,
week or so,
you got to make sure he's okay.
Yeah, well, I keep on saying I'll drive up when he's ready. I'll drive up there.
Yeah,
it offers up any time. I'll be up there in 2 hours.
I mean, basically, to be honest with you, when you come and you'll see, you're gonna know right away. You know,
I'll bring a couple of
cameras.
Anyone
who knows about Bigfoots, who researches them, who knows the tree formation, if you're willing to go in the woods, if you're willing to stay in there, or you know, just hang out for a few days, something's gonna happen where you might see one, you might hear a wood knock, you might hear them doing a call. Something's going to happen. Because like I said, I have a whole bunch of them where I am.
I keep saying,
and
Steve,
I've seen a whole bunch of them. I've seen them recently, too. So.
Steve, I keep saying, if we get together, we're going to make history, my friend.
Yeah, definitely, buddy. Definitely.
We'll make a little history. We'll trump the Southern pair. We'll trump those two guys from Arkansas and the giant from Washington. From California,
well,
and the snake man and the whole group.
Honestly, when it comes to the woods, I can't hold a candle to these guys because these guys have been doing it for a long time, you know. I am not really much of a woods guy, you know. I do go once in a while when I was younger. I camped and stuff like that, but, you know, and believe me when I tell you guys, I'm no wuss whatsoever, but after seeing these things, having these things, you know, throwing rocks at me, but the kicker was when they threw a log at me, and seeing how mad they get when they get pissed when they do that roar at you, I'm kind of scared to go in there, especially if I don't have a fire on.
Hey, Steve.
And believe me, the one I saw the other day, I don't know what it would have taken to get it down, but there's no way
Steve?
That there's any 9mm handgun or you definitely would have needed like a machine gun or one of those big bullets to kill it, because this thing was freaking huge, man. It was huge.
Steve?
Oh, there ain't no kind of medicine like a 12-gauge slug.
Hey, Steve? We'll trump them two guys from the south. They eat raccoon and beaver.
We're going to
eat some skunk. We're going
to
eat some skunk. Let them top that one.
I got a few questions, y'all, if y'all might help me answer them.
All right.
Sure. The gray one. Could that be possibly the age of it, maybe? You know, like how we get old and get gray, you know, gray-headed. Is that like an age thing, maybe?
Well, I guess that's possible. The one guy down here in Arkansas has had two sightings, and the woman that lives down from him has had one. One that is... He said it was white. He said that the one that he saw was he basically compared it to a white dog that lives outside, had to get all dingy and yellow.
Yeah.
And it's probably more, it would probably be more the fact that it does in fact live outside. Rather than age for it to, you know, lower. I mean, even my whiskers are white, but they got some other colors in there, too.
Yeah. Another question
the one
I saw, have.
Guys.
Has anybody ever heard of a blonde one? Of a blonde color?
Seen any good?
I've seen a white one.
No blonde, though, right?
The ones I've been seeing up here in North Carolina, they ain't all the same, like the kind. Like there's a black and white one in a picture. There's like a auburn reddish, a brownish color, a solid black.
We still love
one.
That in Arkansas. That color.
Yeah, different. And
I've seen every one from the brown to the red, but that's it.
Yeah, the one that's got a color. I call it the dog face. Well, the other one I was talking about is in between the trees. That it could have reached out and smacked me. I didn't even see the thing. Well, it's totally different looking. I think it's like the flat nose you talk about, Bill.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's like that one. But this one, when you see the picture, the head, it's about 2.5-3 feet in between these two trees, from one tree to the other. was on 3 inches on one side of the tree, spacing it'd be on the left, and about 6 inches or 8 inches on the other side, and his head is filling up the excess. So, I mean, it's like huge head. And like I was saying, at the bottom of the tree, if you look at the ground and then look where he's standing and look at the ground, it's pretty much flat all the way to him. He's every bit 10 foot tall. But another question I was going to ask, the size of them, I mean, wonder what they'd eat. Like, we'd have to be like a bodybuilder to get that big. Are they eating a lot of stuff, protein or?
Yeah, a lot of walking.
Where I am, guys, there's so many deer around, and
I think a lot of it's genetics.
Yeah.
And the environment, if you were out in that environment, you would have to be tough. You would have to have the muscular. It's just like up north when the white-tailed deer, in Michigan and so forth, you're 300, 400-pound deer. You go down to Texas, and they about weigh 80 pounds.
Yeah.
Well, the Bigfoot thing, I would say that it's probably some of that adaptation, that same thing. You're going to have bigger bodies in certain areas, and you're going to have littler bodies where it's not so, maybe not so tough for them to survive, as far as a food source and an availability of that year-round migration.
Yeah.
If they don't have to migrate, they don't have to migrate. They could stay right there and eat. I would say that you're going to get the leaner, meaner type of critter where it's little bit more harsher. I'd say that's where you're going to see the more muscular and more physically fit animal.
Yeah,
well, the one I had the best view of, the 3 to 5 second look, that thing was muscular, but it wasn't bulky like in the Patterson film.
Yeah.
This thing was just like a
physically fit.
Well, Rocky would know this. It would be like a lightweight bodybuilder, Rocky. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, guys, I think they come, they're like us, they come in all different shapes and all different sizes.
Yeah.
And I've seen some that are really big. Obviously, I've seen some that are a little smaller. But like I told you guys, the one I saw that was with the clear view without any obstruction was a pretty big boy too.
Yeah.
He was about 800 pounds and about 8.5 feet. But the one I saw the other night was just so much more thicker and bigger. And just to get to what his fur looked like, it was like a grayish white. Now, don't forget, I did see it at night, and I did have the high beams on it, but it was definitely not the brownish one, because I've seen the brownish color with a little bit of a tint in it, with brown, and it had streaks of yellow and stuff like that, and I've seen the pure black ones, and I also saw a tan one time. And that one, too, that was for about 4 or 5 second period of time I saw it. So I've seen different types, different colors. They're basically like us. They're all different types.
What about facial color, skin color?
Yeah, sweet.
I've seen skin color on the face.
Yeah.
Everything from tan to dark, dark, dark gray, almost black.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then does anybody notice that when they see these things, the facial color and the hands?
Well,
the faces. The faces of pictures I got, some of them's dark, some of them's light. Some of them looks like, actually like the Planet of the Apes. You know how they got the hairline, and they got the light hair on the face, but you can still see there's like a brown complexion.
That's true. One time I was walking in the woods, and all of a sudden it was about 40 feet in front of me, and it looked at me, and that's exactly what it looked like. And this thing jumped down and took off. And that one looked more ape than anything else. That was like the one. The other ones looked more of a mix. But that one right there looked more ape.
Yeah.
So there's definitely different types.
Yeah, Rocky,
no question about it.
Yeah.
I've also noticed, like Bill said, I've noticed a flat face.
Yes, sir.
They don't have like a monkey, a chimp's got like a snout to it.
Yeah.
They don't have that. They got a flat face, like an orangutan.
No. Sweet.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry. I know y'all go out as a team, and y'all have heard me say several times I don't want to go around the place because I don't want to run them off because it's like a good many of them with babies out there. Would that kind of be wrong?
I mean, what was your take on that? Do you think I should just lay back? Because about two blocks to the left and right of this place is a house. And about this is about 175 feet off the road, the main road. So, I mean, I don't want to poke around and get everybody interested and have about, you know, 75 people with cars stopping, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, well, you want to be real covert, but, you know, the least the better. We, you know, that's the way we do. We most generally will, we won't even go to our site real directly to it. We'll generally park off a ways and do some walking, you know,
okay,
a pretty good
yeah.
distance of walking, no matter what. Unless it's on some private property where we've got an invite.
Yeah,
but you know, as far as going down in there and just, you know, wading around in there by yourself, you know, that's kind of like, you know, I'm just using this scenario just because it just makes sense.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna go wade around out there with the black bears and you see the black bear prints
yeah.
in the mud there and you see a couple of little ones
yeah.
there with it, you know, I'm not gonna be looking down at the ground anymore. I'm looking
yeah.
around to make sure that she's not just 10 feet away from there fixing to jump on me and string me out off down through the hillside.
You're right, because when it comes in babies, they're going to take up for their young. Anything would.
You know, I mean, that's just nature, and then nature
yeah.
is that way. You know, mamas are going to take care of their young, whether or not they perceive you as a threat or not. I don't know that I would take that chance to.
Yeah, I ain't. I'm just.
And another
thing
is,
like I've been saying, I know where they are, so, I mean, if Tom and the team can come and see, it'd be great. But, like I said, they're at least 13.
They're where you're at. If there's that many, it would probably be so much easier for you to find a place, put out something, eat peaches, you know, any kind of fruit or anything like that, you know,
uh-huh.
to where they can smell that. Just sit down in some bushes or something. Let them come to you.
Absolutely. Try
yeah,
to lure them out of
that.
That.
As slim as I am, that'd break me in half.
Well,
I
didn't say not to run once they get
yeah.
there.
Yeah,
just
I'm going to tell you
the picture and then run. Didn't get out.
I had my pistol on my side. After I got home, I showed my wife. I said, "Karen, that thing could have pushed a tree on me. If he'd have broke it a dead run, I'd never got my pistol on me. I couldn't have thrown the camera down, got my pistol out, and cocked it. And the time I tried to shoot it, it would have had me. But even if, like the other guy said, even if I did shot it with a 380, it wouldn't have hurt him.
No,
just
it wasn't
off of it.
No."
You wait till y'all see the head on this thing when we get the pictures up there.
I'm just making fun. You say he's a big water-headed boy?
Carrying a 380 out there is like spanking a bear's ass with a rotten stick.
That's a big thing.
Good, but it's a bad and a big mistake.
Yeah, it
mm-hmm.
is. He'd be like plucking the bullets out, right?
Man, I'm being called out, so I'm going to have to leave the show for now. Y'all, I'll see y'all next week.
All right, how you doing, buddy?
Well, everybody, I want to thank everybody for coming on the show tonight and sharing with us. It's been a real good experience for me, and I want to appreciate each and every one of you for taking the time to do that.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to say to our listeners, stay on, and we'll see you next week. Keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Get well, Bill.
Good night, guys.
Good night, Tom.
Good night, Bill.
Good night,
Bill.
Wherever you are.
Yeah.
Right.
Good night, Tom.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week. Three men with a golden baby to die.
answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they have to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We're brought them together, reason for the facts.